So according to some, we haven't really learned Bava Kamma until we crack the spine, until we see this Brisker Rav over here, the piece that he has at the beginning of Hilchos Nizkei Mammon, which really sets the table for much of the discussion regarding the Avos and the Toldos of Nezikin. And we'll just use is the Brisker Rav touches on many points here, the few blot of the Perek, but perhaps this is the best place to jump in, is through the Sugya that we started on Thursday. So the Braisa tells us the following. Five lines from the top of Beis my Beis, just to read the Braisa again. Tana Rabbanan. Gimel Avos Nemru Bishar HaKeren V'Hashen V'Haregel. There are three parts to the first Av of Avos Nezikin of Bishar. There are three categories that are included within it. The first is Keren, goring. Second is Shane, if the animal eats something. And the third is Regel, if it tramples on it or kicks it. So Keren Minoran. How do we know Karen? So the Braisa says, the Tana Rabbanan, Ki Yigach, the Pasuk says, Ki Yigach, when it will gore. And Ein Negicha Ela B'Karen. Goring means with its horns. Okay. Shenemar, what's the source? Vayas lo tzikyo ben kenano, karne barzel, vayom akoma Hashem be'ego tinagach es aram. So the Pasuk uses the word karne barzel, horns of barzel, and Tinogach is Aram, that you should gore. Aram, you see, goring is with horns. V'oimer, and the passing parashah was Zayisabracha, b'chor sharoi hadar loy, v'karnei re'im karnav, b'hem amim yinagach. Again, uses the word nigicha, goring, together with the word karnei re'im karnav, with its horns. But my v'oimer, why did we need a second pasuk? Why not just bring one pasuk? V'chitev, and if you'll say, divrei term, divrei kabogo yalfinan, because the first pasuk was from the Neviim and Ksuvim, and not from Chumash, and we can't derive it in the rights from a pasuk in Navi, Tashma, Bechor, Sharoh, Hadalai, and therefore we brought the pasuk in Parash, which I said, Bracha, V'hai Melefu, no one's deriving any halachas here, Gilui Milsa Ba'am, who are just trying to arrive at a definition, and we can have a definition from Navi that will apply to a din deraisa. D'negicha b'karenu? No. So says the Gemara, we needed the second pasuk. Mahu d'teim, I might have said, ki pagrach manavein tam lemuad, when the Torah distinguished between goring for the first time and goring numerous times, or repeated gorer, that the first time it pays chatzi nezek, half the damages, the subsequent, you know, after it gores three times, you pay nezek shalem, hani milgu tulusha. That's if it's holding on to the horn, because that's unusual. If it's attached to the animal, maybe you should have to pay Nezek Shalom right away. Tashma b'chor sharoi hadar loy. That's what the second pasuk teaches us. No, it's even mechuberes only pays Nezek Shalom the first time. Okay, so the second pasuk teaches us that mechuberes doesn't pay Nezek Shalom right away, also only pays Chatzi Nezek. The Rishonim, though, Taisus, the Rajba, all ask that if we didn't have a pasuk, in the absence of a pasuk to address mechuberes, the pasuk would only be addressing telusha, how could we possibly assert that mechuberes should pay nezek shalem? What is the source for it? It can't be derived from telusha, that if the animal is holding a sharp object in its mouth and it does damage, that you should have to pay, you know, that you should have to pay mechuberes if it's attached nezek shalem, because telusha itself, you only pay chatzi nezek, so you can't derive a greater payment to a new situation from a source where you don't have that level of payment, that level of responsibility. If you only have to pay chatzi nezek by telusha, how can we derive from telusha to nezek shalem by mechuberes? So that's Tyson's question that he has over here. Avam mechuberes ema kula muedesi. If it will be attached, maybe you should have to pay nezek shalem. L'shalem nezek shalem. Afilu par mishayna. So fractosis ve'im toima umehai tesi. Where are you deriving this from? How could we possibly have had this thought, this havamina, to the degree that we needed a pasuk to tell us, no, mechuberes only pays nezek shalem. How could I possibly have thought you should pay chatzi nezek in the absence of a direct source regarding mechuberes? If you're going to derive it from telusha, daika telusha. It can't be any better or any worse than telusha. And if telusha only pays chatzi nezek, mechuberes should also only pay chatzi nezek. So says Tosis, well, I'll tell you, maybe you're deriving it from the other avos nezikin, from bar, adam, and eish. Imishar avos, So says Taisus, Hatenach Laman the Yomar Karen Adifa the Kavanos Lahazik. Later on, there's a machlaikas in the Gemara, running machlaikas, which we're going to have to investigate. I don't want to get too heavily involved in it now. Whether Pauga Nizka Mamoina or Pauga Nizka Knosa. What that means is the following. Should I really, have guarded an animal from goring because that's something that animals do? And just the Torah says, you know what? And therefore, I should really be responsible for any damage my animal does because I should have been aware that that might happen. And I bear responsibility for it. But the Torah said, you know what? You only have to pay for half the damages the first time because it really isn't that common, but it's really, common enough that you should have been aware of it and prevented it. But so you bear a kind of half responsibility, but it is something you really should have been aware of. That's palganiska mamona. That means you're responsible. Money means money that you're mamona means money you're obligated to pay for damages you caused. But then there's another possibility in the Gemara that Karen is not kavanos lahazik. An animal that does damage is not something that I should have anticipated. Because animals goring is not that common. And the fact that the Torah made me responsible to pay itself is a chiddush. That's a knas, a penalty. But it's really not something that I'm responsible for. That's the other perspective in the Gemara. It really has to do with whether or not Karen is kavanos lahazik, is common, and I therefore should have been aware of it, and I'm responsible for it because I didn't guard it properly, or whether it's not kavanos lahazik, it's not common for it to do it, and therefore paganiska knasa. Yeah. Yeah, so that's Rabbeinu Tam's position, who equates kavanos lahazik with paganiska mamona. That's why Tosfos here brings Rabbeinu Tam. Not everybody equates those two concepts, and they don't really have to go together. But I don't want to get involved in that. That's Rabbeinu Tam later on. Tosfos is going. We're going to discuss that. Okay, so Tosfos says if you're going to derive it from the other avos, imisha avos hatenoch laman diyomer keren adifa the kavanos lahazik. Karen is common, or its intention is to do damage. Afilu Karen Asi. So Karen, which is Kavanos Lahazik, and it's common that it does damage, meaning it's something I should have anticipated, and therefore I'm responsible for it. Ukin Mefarsh Ben Utam LeKamon DaHainu LaMan DeAmar Palganiskim Mimona. Those two concepts go together, and therefore the monetary payment for damaging is not a penalty. I'm actually responsible for it and have an obligation to pay. Disley stam shvarim lav becheska shimur kaimi. Animals are not, cannot be responsible for themselves. So then, fine, you could derive it from the other avos nezikin, meaning we don't have to derive mechuberes from Karen. You're right. Telusha is what Karen is talking about. It's holding a sharp object in its mouth. That's chazi nezik. Mechuberes, if it's attached to the animal, I might have said you have to pay nezik shalom, not because it's derived from Karen and from Telusha, but from the other avos nezikin. Of Bor, Eish, and Adam. Because all three of those are, as the Mishnah says, Kavanos Lahazik, Ushmiras and Alecha. I should have guarded myself, I should have guarded fires, I should have guarded a Bor, and so too, I should have guarded my animal that did not gore anything. So says Taisus, maybe we could derive it from the other Avos Nezikin. The other Avos Nezikin have no dispensation the first time. You get like a mulligan. You only have to pay Chatzin Nezik, you pay Nezik Shalim by the other ones right away. So we derive it from the other Avos Nezikin. That's what Tosfos says. You can't derive it from Karen. That's Tlusha. That's only Chatzin Nezek. Mechuberes that pays Nezek Shalom the first time must be derived from the other Avos Nezikin. Yeah.
So what's Tosfos is asking? What's the Havamina that we pay Chatzin Nezek?
What's the Havamina that Mechuberes should pay Nezek Shalom? To the degree that I need a Pasuk to tell you, no, Mechuberes is also Chatzin Nezek, just like Tlusha. Where are you getting this phantom Nezek Shalem from? So says Taisus, it can't be from Tlusha, because Tlusha can't take you that far. It can only take you to Chatzin Nezek. Maybe it's from the other Avos Nezikin. So says Taisus, that works if animals are likely to gore. So then I could say, okay, it's like Bor, it's like Eish, it's like Adam, then I have to guard it, and it's coming out to the Hazik. So to my animal, I have to guard. If I didn't, Mechuberes can be derived from those three. But then Taisus runs into problems of Alamanda, Amr, Palga, Niska, Knasa, according to the opinion that animals, it's not common that they do damage. And the idea that you have to pay when your animal does damage itself is just a penalty. The Islay Stam Shvarim Bechaiska Shimur Kaimi. So La Asi Karen Miku, you can't derive Mechuberes from them. Because Mechuberes is not something which is common to do damage. And all of those are. Kidarmina lekaman. As the Gemara says later on, Kishadisa bor beinayu. If you put bor together with any one of the other avos nezikin, asi kuhu levar mikaren. You can derive karen from bor. The Gemara is going to involve in the discussion. Why do we need all four? We could have derived one from the other ones. And the Gemara says you really could have derived all of them from bor and any one of the other three, but karen will prove elusive. Karen, you can't derive from the other ones. The ikal mifrach shechein muadim itchilasan. Because the other ones are common to do damage, and therefore you have to pay nezek shalim right away. Perish dak lahazik masha'ein came be karen debecheska shimor kaimin. Karen is not something I really have to worry about. So if karen is not something I have to worry about, I don't have to worry about my animal goring, and if it does it, it's out of the ordinary, and the fact that I have to pay at all is a knas. Well, then how can I derive mechuberes, should pay nezek shalim, this, phantom nezek shalim payment, which we were worried about, that we needed a second pasuk to tell us, oh no, this also is Chatzi Nezek. Where would we possibly have derived that from? Can't be the other Avos Nezikin. All of those are Dark and Lahazik. So says Taisus the following answer. We'll just say it outside. It's a little bit confusing in the language of Taisus, but what Taisus says is, I would have thought that animals are likely to gore, and the pasuk comes to teach me animals are not likely to gore. Meaning, according to the one who holds Palganiska, according to the one who holds Palganiska Mamani, you could derive the Mechuberes from the other three. They're all three things that you have to worry about, and you have to guard it. And the fact that I only pay Na'achati Nezik, Mechuberes is Exeris HaKosuv. I really am responsible for it. We're saying now, according to the one who holds, animals don't run away. Behemoth, Becheska Shimor Kaimi. And the fact that you have to pay it all is a Knas. So then where did I get this phantom payment of Nezek Shalim from that I was worried about? So Taisa says, no, what we would have thought is that the goring that it does with its own horns is something that you have to be worried about. Kamash Malan, that's not something you have to be worried about. Meaning that itself, this issue itself is what's debated in our sugya. So Taisa says like this, B'yesh Loimah, D'lamanda Amar Palga D'nizka Knasa, according to the one who holds that the animals, you can trust them not to gore anything, and if it does, it's out of the ordinary. That which we, this possibility, perhaps you should pay Nezek Shalom if the gores with the horns that are attached to it. You should pay Nezek Shalom right away. It's not that we needed a pasuk to teach us that you don't pay Nezek Shalom right away. That's not what's being debated in our sugya. I also needed to teach me that this is something that's also out of the ordinary. When is it out of the ordinary that it's Palganiska Knasa, that it's Peinachati Nezek, that's Telusha? That's what's being described by the Pasuk in Tzidkio. By Tzidkio. Avaba Mechuberes, Darko Lahazik. Maybe there's a difference between Telusha and Mechuberes, whether or not it's normal or not normal. It's abnormal for a thing to take the knife in its mouth and start, macheting up everything. But if, maybe with its own horns, that is normal. And even though we say Palganiska Knasa by Telusha, maybe by Mechuberes we'd say Palganiska Knasa, Mamona, that is normal. So what's being debated back and forth is Mechuberes normal? In which case, meaning you have to be worried about it, it could be derived from the other three Avos Nezikin, just like those are things which do damage and you have to be worried about them and you're liable Nezek Shalem right away. Or is it like Telusha? Is it like Karen, which is out of the ordinary, and therefore you pay Chatzi Nezek as a penalty? And the Kamash Malan is, I'm Mechuberes, Darko Lahazik, Mitchiloso. Maybe I would have said, you're obligated right away. V'nilmod mod mi bor. Let's learn that out from bor, mechad me avos, and any one of the other avos, l'chaiva, l'chad chila, nezek shalim, kamash malan, they know it's just as abnormal as Telusha. Okay, but what Taisus had, if you just, boil it down to what emerges, Taisus had two possibilities where we got this from. But he's very worried about it. Very concerned. Where did we get this payment of Nezek Shalom, this phantom payment of Nezek Shalom, this Havamina by Mechuberes, you don't have to pay full. If it's from Telusha, we're stuck. Telusha, you only pay half the first time. How can Mechuberes be Nezek Shalom derived from Telusha? And if it's from Bar and any one of the other Avos, those are all Kavanos Lahazik, Shmiras, it's the Dark and Lahazik, Shmiras and Alecha. This, according to the one who holds Palganiska Knasa, It's not Darkal Atzlik. You can't derive it from there. And then Taisa said, no, we thought we could derive it from there. And Kamash one, we don't derive it from there. That's where Taisa's ended up. However, the Brisker Rav has an entirely different approach to this sugya. But in order to appreciate what he's going to tell us, we have to take a slight detour. I'm going to say, look, fast forward to Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, the Gemara at the top of Vav Amud Aleph is commenting on a line in the Mishnah, which we should remember. But the Mishnah told us, list the other Avos Nezikin. And again, the Mishnah already was concerned, you know, can we derive one from the, you know, what's the difference between all four? And the Gemara said, Hatzara Shavah Shabahen. What was the line in the Mishnah? Hatzara Shavah Shabahen. Shadarkan Lahazik Ushmiras and Alecha. They normally do damage, and therefore you have to guard them. So the Gemara asks, what is that coming to include? What is the common denominator line in the Mishnah coming to include that's not already included in the Arba Avos Nezikin themselves? From the fact that the Mishnah goes out of its way to say that, and the Mishnah is particularly stingy with its language, what is this common denominator line add to the information that's already contained within the Mishnah? Presumably it's coming to add something, not just like a random observation. Hey, by the way, look at the common denominator here. It's coming to add something. From the common denominator, we see that there's an additional obligation we wouldn't have known otherwise. So if you look at the Gemara at the top of Avim, the Gemara says the following. It's coming to include, this sounds kind of convoluted, but it's really not, what's called Avno Sakino Maso, which means a stone, a knife, or a suitcase. There just happen to be random examples of items that I put at the top of the building and it blows off. We could have a million permutations of this, that's just one example. And it blows off and does damage after it blows off. So am I liable for the damage that it causes if I put it in that position where it blew off and then did damage? So lasuye mai, omar abaye, lasuye amno sakinu maso shanikum barosh gago, I place these items at the top of the roof, v'naflu beruach metzuya, and it fell with a ruach metzuya, meaning a normal wind, something I should have been concerned about. If a hurricane comes, we're not discussing that. And it's not a ruach metzuya, unless you live, I guess, in the Florida Keys, then maybe it is a ruach metzuya. But in our place, it's not a ruach metzuya. Something that you have to anticipate. Veziku, then what is the case? Is a person, I'm sorry, in such a situation, you're chayv, and that's what the Mishnah is coming to include. So heki dami, what's the case we're discussing? Iba hadi deka azli kamazki, if it damages as it's going along, meaning it's flowing in the air, flying in the air, hainu eish, it lands on somebody, a brick lands on somebody. So then that's eish, that's no different than a fire which is traveling and does damage. Maishna eish deka kakam urubo, just like fire, the wind plays a role. Umimon chavishmerosin alecha, but you lit the fire and therefore you're obligated, you're responsible for it. Haninami kar kakam urubed. Just because a wind takes over and blows it away, it does damage, you're obligated for it. Umimon chavishmerosin alecha. So that would have been included in eish. What do I need the extra line in the Mishnah? Velabasa denaichi. Maybe it means, no, it landed. Then someone tripped over the suitcase. If I was mafkirit, bein l'rab, bein l'shmul, hanu bar. So then that's included in a bar. I set up a machete, falls into the middle of the street, that was mine, and now someone trips over it and gets injured, that's my fault. That's like I set up a bar in the Rishus HaRabim. So ma'ishna bar, shechein tchilas asiyos l'nezik, mimon chavishmeros alecha, it itself is dangerous, and I should have guarded. Haninami tchilas asiyos l'nezik, mimon chavishmeros alecha. Here too, I should have guarded my item. Ela deloy afkirinu. No, you were not mafkarit. Lishmuel da amar kula mi bar lamanu hainu bar. So fine, even if you weren't mafkarit, according to Shmuel, it would be bar. Li'olam, so forget it, says the Gemara, da afkarinu. You were mafkarit. Velo damu labar. It's not similar to bar. Because ma labar shechein ein kach ma'urabo. Here, what happened? It did damage as it's flying. It did damage. No, after it landed. Yeah, after it landed. Malabar shechein ein kach akamurubo. Normally, a pit that does damage, the wind did not play any role in it. Tomer bahani shekach akamurubo. Here, wind did play a role. So, but you say, eish tachiach, mala eish, shechein darko lelech ulahazik. But eish does travel and do damage. Here too, I also, this traveled and did damage. So, bar tachiach. I'm sorry, but Mala Esh Kein Dark Leilchu Hazik. Esh travels. This, once it lands, it's not going to travel. So Bor Tochiyach, Bor will show us, even if something is stationary, you can also be liable for it, for Chazar Adin. So we can derive it from the common denominator of Esh and Bor. What happened here? I had something on top of the roof, it fell. So wind played a role. Why? Well, derived from Esh, I'm chayiv if wind plays a role. But then it's stationary. It's not Dark Leilchu Lahazik. It doesn't travel around. Now it's stationary. So we'll derive from Bor. Yeah, but you had first Esh, then Bor. Both played a role in making me obligated for this knife that fell from the roof down here and someone got injured while it was stationary. Sigmar says we can derive from the common denominator of both that you are obligated. Yeah? Are we okay with that? Any questions on that? Good. It's derived from the common denominator of both. But the question is, which one is it? You'll say, what difference does it make? Is it bar or is it esh? They're all the same. You're obligated to pay. So the truth of the matter is there is a difference. Look back right on that same page at Hei Amibes. The Gemara tells us, and Gemara later on in the Masechta is going to derive all these things from Psukim, that there's a difference between all of the four Avos Nezik, and each one has their own caveat, their own quirk. If you look over here, the maybe seven lines up from the top, from the bottom, the Gemara says, Lehilchos Seyen. Why did it have to write all four if you could have derived one from the other? The Gemara is going to conclude at a certain degree you can derive some from the other. Why did it have to write all four? Each one has its own caveat. Karen, lechalek ben tamalu muedes. What's different about goring? Goring the first time you only pay half. If it becomes regular habit by the animal, then you pay full. That's only Karen. Shein v'regel. What's unique about Shein and regel? If it eats or it tramples or kicks something. Lepotram b'shus harabim. The only time you're obligated for Shein and regel is if it's in someone's private property. But if it's in the b'shus harabim, my animal is walking along and eats a random cucumber that happens to be sitting on the floor, I'm not obligated for that, even though it belongs to somebody else. It's only if it goes into somebody else's property and eats it. Okay? So lepotram b'shus harabim. Lepotram b'shus harabim. That's only Shein and regel. Goring, there's no exemption of Times Square. Just because you're in the Shus HaRabim doesn't matter. Can't gore anybody. Bar, what's unique about bar? Lift or bar, say Caleb. Yeah, you want to say something? Oh. Yeah. Bar, yeah, what do you want to say?
I don't know if it's a good question, but what if it was a Shemitah year and the animal goes into field and eats a...
Don't know. Good question. Is that happening? No. We can think about it.
I think it was a good question. I thought it was going back.
We'll have to think about it. Okay, bar. It might be more of a Shvius question than a Nezikin question. Bar. Lift or bar was hakelim. What's unique about bar? You're only chayv if it's an adam or something similar, not an animal, not if someone drops their utensil into the bar. Why? Because that didn't go on its own and be surprised by the bar. How did a kli get into the bar? Rabbi Yehuda the Mechayev on this kekeum b'bor, but according to Rabbi Yehuda holds Yechayev for also proper damage property to utensils in a bar. Lift or bow is ha'adam. It's coming to exclude adam. And adam in a bar, you're not obligated to pay. Adam, what about adam? Lechayev o ba'ar b'dvarim. If a person damages someone else, so he's obligated to pay not only for the damage, but for ripoy, sheves, and boshes, other payments that have to be made as well. So each one has their own exemption. What about Eish? Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev on this, Eish, lift above that tamun. And fire, you're potter for things which are hidden. If it's hidden inside of a whole barrel of hay, you're not obligated to pay for it, even though it was there and it got damaged because it was hidden. Okay, so each one has their own unique caveat, which we need to explore and find the definition for and figure out where it came from. But that's the basic lay of the land, that each one has its own unique halacha. What are they? Bar is pata for kalim, Eish is pata for tamun, Shein and Rego are pata b'shus harabim, Karen, the first time you pay, is only chatzi nezek, and not Nezek Shalom, it's only after it becomes a regular habit of the animal, and Adam has to pay for not only Nezek, he has to pay Ripoy, Shevis, and Boshes if he damages another Adam. Fine. So back to over here. This Avnos Akinu Maso, we derived it from a combination of both. It blew off the roof. That was Eish, wind plays a role. Then it landed, it's stationary. Now it's a bar. Yeah, but it's not a complete bar because I didn't put it there. It blew off the roof. So, and it's not a complete Eish. Eish is moving. This is stationary. So, okay, but it's both. No, it's both. But which one, which caveat, which category does it fit into? Does it have the p'tur of Tamun like Eish? Or does it have the p'tur of Kalim like Bor? Or maybe it has both, because it's derived from both. Which category does it fit into? Oh. So I say, look at the Rosh. First page over here, the little sheets I handed out to you. In the second column. The second column, I marked it off with a poorly drawn arrow. So the Rosh is like this. Umaskina the Alfinon Amdo Sakino Maso Shanikum Barosh Hagag, Venafli Rishus Harabim Baruch Metsuya Vezeku Basar Denaichimi Bar Umeyesh. Suddenly blew off the roof, now it's stationary, it's not similar to a fire which is moving, it's not similar to a bar which I placed there, but okay, it's derived from the combination of the two, the common denominator. Vyesh Vinagdoilam Shekosvu, Dilo Machayev Elamasha Chayev Bishnehem. It has both caveats, both carve-outs, both exclusions. Upatiri minizke kegim umimisas adam kimobar. It's pater not from damage to another, but from the death of a person or from nizke kelim utensils, which are the exclusions of bar. Umitamun kimobeish, and hidden items which are not visible like fire. The cave in the asuba mehatzad yavinun lahu hakel hakal shabishneim. We have to give him the coolest of both. But v'yesh shenestapku badavar, says the Rosh, there are those who are not so sure. V'li nira dekol din bor yesh lahem. It only has the din of bor, it doesn't have the exclusions of esh. Why should one say it only has the, if it has the exclusions of both, I get that. Why do we get that? Because it's derived from both. It can't be any more a chamor than what it's being derived from. It's derived from Eish, which blew off the roof. It's derived from Bor, because it's stationary. So it has the exclusion, has to have the carve-out. So both can't be better or more chamor or more severe than where it's being derived from. Dayu levo min adin, leos kinidon. You can't derive something more stringent from a source, which is more lenient. So I understand that position. What is the position of the Rosh? It's only treated by bar, but it's not pater by tamun, but you only derived it from Eish. Yeah?
He's only deriving it from...
We derive it from the common denominator of both. But Rosh is saying, bottom line...
It's bar.
It's bar. How can you do that? You derived it from Eish. It blew here. I didn't place it here. So I'm about to say, turn to the Brisker Rav. The second page. Second page, page Samach Vav. So in the first column, right in the middle of the first column, in the middle of the line, he says, Ein Shom B'Dvar, after he quotes our Rosh, the Rosh we just saw, he says, Ulechara Hadavar Tzarech Biur. You see me? First column, like almost right in the middle of the column, last word on the line is Ulechara. And then the line begins, Hadavar. You see me? Oh, wait, you see me? Read inside. Oh. It says, Azai. Ulechara Hadavar Tzarech Biur. Demei Acher Dechiyuva. Since we're also deriving it from Eish, im kain mehecha tesi. From how can we justify nechayvim yosmi beish? Umay mahani hoda shame bor aleim. How can you say, well, now it looks more like bor? Kevin the alkopanim hare gamrinu lechayuva mechayuva de Eish. Lamaisa, you derived it from Eish. Ve'eich efshar lechayvinu bedvarim sha'eish pater aleim she'anafish chiyuvayu mechiyuva de'yesh. How can he work in Eish? So here he puts forth his major thesis. Ulam nira poshut. Derei hode Eish pater al hatamun hu zemitzad gzeres hakosav sha'tara pater tamun be'eish. See, when the fire is pater for things that are hidden, that are not visible, that's not because you're not responsible for things that are not visible. And I, can justify why you're a potter. It's just a gzeres hakosev. You should have really been chayiv for that too. And your responsibility extends to those things. Just, it's a gzeres hakosev. But that gzeres hakosev, that carve-out, that exception, that caveat, is not a caveat in your responsibility. It's a caveat, you know, in terms of the, let's say, the Iser Lahazik. The Iser Lahazik is the same by Tamun too, if we wanted to phrase it in those terms. We would say, it's also to be Mazik Tamun. That's the wrong thing. It's not that I say, well, Tamun, how was I supposed to know it's there? I'm not responsible. No, you are. Just the Torah says you don't have to pay. That's it. But you're responsible for it. It's also to be Mazik those things too. Ava Be'ikar Hadin Mazik, says Riskarov, Harelo Shiny Tamun Me'eno Tamun. There's no difference. It's not that one, you know, I could have envisioned, the one I didn't, you know, I couldn't. And therefore, the Xeris HaKosov is limited to that which is Eish. Not that which is derived from Eish, that which is Eish. Oh. V'shapir yalfinan amno sakinu maso shenichem barosh gagol. We can derive an item that I put in a precarious position. V'naflu beruach mitzuya. It fell in a wind that I should have anticipated. V'ziku basu denayachi. And it did damage after it fell down. I'm going to derive that from Eish, where wind plays a role. She'enech shav mazik. I am responsible. I can derive that from Eish. Even though wind here played a role. You want to be part of a Tamun. That's Exeris HaKosov. A loophole of Eish. Azlinum basar ikar Hashem im shame barhu. There we follow what it most resembles now. Meaning, Tamun is a loophole for payment. But you really are, I don't want to get involved with, you know, the legitimacy of loopholes now, but this is a financial, you know, a payment loophole, but you really are responsible for it.
We're seeing the Evan Moss of this sucker. So that's considered Tamun.
No. I'm sorry. I knew this was going to get... Avnus Hakinu Maso is just... an example of any item which could in theory be dangerous if it would be placed in the middle of the Shus HaRabim. But I didn't place it there, like a bar, like a pit. I put it on the top of the roof. And then the wind blows it off. Yeah?
Right.
Now it's sitting over here. Something comes along and gets damaged by it. But there's a hidden item in that which got damaged. There's, you know, something that's visible. And then, ooh, inside of it there's a... the Hope Diamond, and now it cracked. Yeah. So am I obligated to pay for that? So if it would have been in a fire, you wouldn't have been obligated to pay for that. That's Tamun. It was hidden inside something else. If it's Bor, you're obligated to pay for it. Tamun and Bor is high for Tamun. So is this like Eish, because it's derived from Eish? It blew here by the wind. Right. Or an Amputter for the diamond that got damaged by the valise or by the knife. At whatever, blowtorch, you know, because it doesn't matter. Right. It's just a random, you know, example of a dangerous item. And you know, since it's derived from Eish, Amputter and Tamun, or no, we should say now it looks and functions like a bor. I don't care how it got here. And it's Amputter, and it's Chayv and Tamun. So one opinion, the Rush says, look, it's derived from Eish. How could it be better than Eish? And Rush said, no, it functions like a bor. It's a din bor. So we asked, how could it be better than Eish? It's being derived from Eish. Biskarov says, because the Ptur Tamun of Eish is not a limitation on your responsibility. It's exerts a loophole in payment. But you really are responsible for it. So unless it functions like Eish, it's excluded from exerts a custom. And now it functions like bor. I don't care where it came from. This is not a measure of your level of responsibility. You're responsible for Tamun too. It's just exerts a custom that you don't have to pay. That's what he says. Oshem Eish Alav, the Tamun Be'esh Patra Torah, Velo Bebor. So let's read on. V'kevon de la'achar yalfusa. Since after we learned out from Eish and Bor, Hare Torah's Bor, Al Avnu Sakinu Maso, Velo Torah's Eish. It has the functions like a Bor, not an Eish. V'meila de'enu b'chag, Zeres HaKosov, Shal P'tur Tamun. It's no longer deserving of the carve out of Tamun, the loophole. Dagzeris HaKosov, Nemo, Rakala, Eish, Bovad, Vezeh, Hare, Eino, Eish. Dagzeris HaKosov is only by Eish, and this is not an Eish. Kevan, Sheziku, Basu, Denaichi. Since it did damage after its resting. So then there, okay. That's how he explains the rush. What about the other opinion? So look down, four lines from the bottom. You should read this, the rest is all worthwhile. Four lines from the bottom, he says, Vashita, Cheres, Shehevi, Arush. The other opinion that the Rush brought, Sphirle, the Me'achad al Kopanim by Inu Lumilfenu, Gam Me'esh, Le'inin Achiyu Valkain Me'mela, De'ein Lecha Bohen Lamasha Chayiv Be'esh.
Since it's derived from Esh, you can only derive what you're Chayiv in Esh. I would suggest
if we want it to be lumdush and conceptual, that this exact point is what's debated by the Rishonim here. Is the Ptur Taman and Eish a limitation on your responsibility? I could never be responsible for things that are hidden. And therefore, if you can derive anything from Eish, it has to be limited. That limitation carries through because it's a limitation of my obligation. Or is it, no, I'm obligated on Taman too. It's just Xeris HaKosef that I'm potter. So if it doesn't function as Eish, then it's excluded from Xeris HaKosef. That's what's being debated here by the Rishonim. Is the Ptur, these caveats, are these carve-outs, are these limitations on your obligation on the Easter Lahazik? Or no? It's also to be Mazik, even if you're not obligated to pay. Just as a limitation, Xeris HaKosef, you don't have to pay in these situations of loophole. So this debate between the Rush and the other opinion that's quoted by the Rush, so Taisus takes a side on this issue. And this is with regards to the same Avnos Akinu Maso, because look earlier on Gimel Med Aleph. Last line of Gimel Med Aleph. Three lines from the bottom of Gimel Med Aleph. The Gemara discusses this case again. We can't get enough of this. Avnos Akinu Maso. Avnos Akinu Maso. Again, a dangerous item. Sheinichum b'shus harabim v'heziku. I put in the middle of the v'shus harabim, it does damage. A blowtorch. Sehechi dami, idaf gerinu, if I don't own it, it's no different than any other bar. Bein l'rab, bein l'shmu, hainu bar. You made a damage over you, it's like digging a pit. Same thing conceptually. V'idaloy afgerinu, if you weren't mafgerit, we're going to get to it later on. Which one is the most universal of the four of the Avos Nezikin? So according to Shmuel, that holds bar is the really the most universal. So we're going to learn out from bar. So then this is a bar. Even though you own it, then a bar is typically ownerless. Okay. V'ila Rav, and according to Rav, Damar Kula Mishara Lamadnu, sure is the most universal. It's the most universal properties of all of the four Avos Nezikin. So Hainu Shor. So just like an ox you own that does damage, by goring, this is something you own that did damage. Ma'ishna bar, shechein t'chilas asiyasu l'nezek m'moncha v'shmirasa alecha, haninami t'chilas asiyasu l'nezek m'moncha v'shmirasa alecha. Fine. So look over here at Taisus Mishura l'manu. So we have a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. If I have, normally a bar is ownerless. If I have, I take a blowtorch, it didn't blow off the roof this time. It's not derived from Eish at all. I take a machete and I put it down in the middle of the street, someone's walking by and gets hurt. So it's not your typical bar because bar is ownerless. This I own, it's mine, I retain my ownership of it. I wasn't mafkir it. So according to Shmuel, it's a bar. Okay, it's, I guess derived from bar, even though bar is typically ownerless. No one owns the pit. Here I own this. And according to Rav, it's a shor. So what are we going to say, Rabbi? If it's a shor, what's the unique halach of shor? What's the unique halach of keren? Oh, you don't have to pay nezek sholem the first time. What do you say about this machete that's lying in the middle of the street?
This we did on purpose.
You did on purpose. That's true. Yeah. And but would you say, well, you're deriving it from shor? Sure, you don't have to pay Chatzin Ezek the first time. Should I have a p'tur of Chatzin Ezek? So look over here at the Taisus. Taisus says, Mishar Lomainu, Hainu Karen. It's referring to Karen. Not Shein V'Regel. The Shein V'Regel, p'turim b'shus harabim. They're p'turim b'shus harabim. V'av nesakino, ein l'chalek bin tamos l'muwados. D'lo shayach l'chalek ela b'balei chayim. And he says, first of all, we're referring to Karen here. Not sure when we say Shar, we're not referring to Shane and Regel. Shane and Regel are Patron Rishus HaRabim. Here we're dealing with Rishus HaRabim. And it doesn't make sense to distinguish between Tamus and Muados Lo Shayach L'Chalek El B'Balei Chayim. Vim Tomar. So there's no difference between Tamus and Muados. That's only by animals. Vim Tomar. Hechi Gamer Mishar. But says Taisus, how could I derive this from Shar? Now that you're going to say there's a fundamental difference, there's no Thomas here because that's only by animals and this is inanimate objects. How can I derive one from the other? One is a moving object, an animal, and one is an inanimate object. Mefarish Rashbam. No, the Liyalim is derived from both. Mefarish Rashbam, the Asi mi bar vishar mi me'atzad. According to Shmuel, it's just bar. That's it, bar. Bar is usually ownerless, this you own. According to Rav, when we said it's shar, we didn't mean strictly shar. If it strictly would have been shar, So then, a shor is an animal. What does this have to do with an inanimate object? No, it must be. It's from the common denominator of bor and shor. It's derived from both. Like just like Avnus Akinu Masol from Asian bar. But then look down at Tosfos, four lines from the bottom. Aval Kasha came and the bim bar nami yalef lipotra behu kalim kibar. It should be pata from kalim like bar. Ulukaman bameniach mechayev behu rav kalim gabi nishbar kado. There's a gemara later on that Avnus Akinu Masol shenicham b'shus harabim. Rav holds it's like shor, so it doesn't have the exemption, the exclusion of kalim. Tosfos can't understand that because you can't derive it just from shor. Shors are animals, and Thomas only makes sense by animals. Fine, okay, let's just say accept that for this time being. But then the question begs: how can you derive it from shor? If shor is an animal, this is an inanimate object. Must be we need bor in the equation. Ooh, if it's bor, says Tosfos, you have to have the ptur kalim, and we don't have the ptur kalim, so Tosfos is left with a conundrum. Yeah.
What's the reason for the payment? Is it because he or I placed the machete on the floor? Or
yeah.
The machete's on the floor and I'm the owner of the machete. Meaning, because then I think there might be like a difference between the object then that
Well, it can't be the placing because nothing, no damage happened with the placing. It's because I'm responsible for my items and I put it in a dangerous place.
Isn't that just like the chakira that we had before?
But it is for the digging, for putting it there in the end, because a bor I don't own. So it's not that I'm responsible for it, it's because I dug it, I bear responsibility for it. So it's because you placed it there, it's like a bor.
So would there be a difference between a machete or a lawnmower or something?
I don't think so, no.
No?
Oh, exactly.
So it isn't due to the fact that machete like has a natural.
Well, if a lawnmower would be on and running and then run into somebody, that's aish.
Yeah.
Because that's moving.
Okay.
And bar is not darko lele chumahazik. But yeah.
But I'm saying that for the machete that it is darko lele chumahazik.
It's not going anywhere. It's stationary.
But machete is generally used to hurt someone.
But right now, it's stationary.
Yeah, but the second I pick it up.
No one's picking it up. If you picked it up, then you'd be another mamazik.
Okay, yeah. I don't know, I just,
I'm sure
he, like, just seems like a dangerous
item. Someone said, that's what, I think the Medrash says. Kayan responded when Kosh Baruch Hu said that he killed Hevel. So Kayan said, I didn't kill him. It was the sword that killed him. That's like, it's not, it's guns kill people, not people kill people. So, and then Kosh Baruch Hu responds, no, you killed him with the sword. People kill people, not swords kill people. Anyway, interesting gun debate. But, if you know what I'm talking about. But that's what you're saying. I'm saying machetes don't kill people. It's a guy who placed it there. Yeah. It's not moving anywhere. Oh. So, but Rabbi, so we're left here with a problem. You have this dangerous item, according to Shmuel, derived from Shor. We said it really can't be derived. I'm sorry, according to Rabbi, it's derived from Shor. It can't be derived from Shor. Shor is an animal which has tamos, and, you know, it's moving. What, it's a whole different thing. How could it be derived from Shor? It says must be bars in the mix. If bars in the mix, it should have the Ptur Kalim, and Tyson doesn't understand why it doesn't. But look over here at the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav says that's because Tyson is following that other opinion that was quoted by the Rush. That these carve-outs are limitations on your responsibility on the Issa La'azik. So if you're going to derive it from bar, anything you derive has to be limited in a similar fashion. But look at the Rimigash. Here, the Brisker Rav in the second column on that same page Samach Vav, the end of the paragraph, V'yisoy Dabar Zeh, he quotes a Rimigash, 7 lines from the bottom, 3 words in the end of the line, V'zeh Lashon HaRimigash B'tshuvosav, one of the Rebbeim of the Rambam, V'af Agav, D'bein Ki Chashavtu L'Hubar, Bein the Kashavtu Hushar, Hadi Kanavik Dine B'Matzad. Both have to derive it from a Matzad. Both are deriving from the common denominator. V'chayvina Ninu Afilu Haki, Nafkaminu Chiyuve Bei Adam V'Kalim. The only difference will be with regards to Adam and Kalim. Di Kashavtu Luhu, the Chiyuvinu Machma Shein Bar, Nihu Lo Machayvi Behu Adam V'Kalim. Di Kashavtu the Chashvinu Machma Shor, Shumimona Machayvi Behu Adam V'Kalim. So, according to the Rimigash, everyone derived it from bor and shor. The question is, what does it function as now? Because it's owned by you, is that more similar to shor? Or because it's stationary, it's more similar to bor? And the difference will be for the Xeris Akasa, for the carve-outs. But even though everyone agrees it was derived from both,
So if you look, the Brisker Rav continues. Harega hedim idive arimi gash. The inyan ikar yafusa lekan afkusa kal bein rabushmo. Everyone agrees it's from both. Rak the pligi im laafa yafusa mi bar mishar ubar torah shar bahu. A torah bar bahu. How is it functioning now? Okay, so this is the thesis of the Brisker Rav, and the Tosis is on the other side of it. That's why he's already, he's opposed here to Tosis, and I'm about to. Tosis is on the wrong side of the Brisker Rav. But the Brisker Rav's vart is, and his thesis is, that these exceptions, these exclusions of the four Avos Nezikin are not a limitation on your obligation. The Issa L'Hazik, it's just a loophole in payment. And therefore, it doesn't matter where you're deriving it from, these exclusions will not matter. All that matters now is how does it function now. And you can derive from something that has an exclusion to something that doesn't have an exclusion, because the exclusions are not limitations on your obligation, they're just loopholes. So if it's not functioning as H now, it doesn't have the Ptur Tama. Now let's get back to Adav. Ufize, the end of that second column, page 7. Rav Tosis comes back to Adav. Ufize, Nire, the Zehu Gam Bior Dibre Gemara. That's also what's going on in our Gemara. The Mao de Tema ki Polygrachmana ben Tam the Muad Hani Mili Bikaran Tulusha Mukuberas Emakulumuedasi. Maybe the only distinction between Chatzi Nezik and Nezik Sholem, between Tam and Muad, is by an animal picks up a sharp object in its mouth. But if it's attached to its head, no. Mishum de Wafiha MS La Akha Shiksuven Kola Daud Abbas Nazik Sutis. Where are we gonna get this from? You can't get it from Tulusha. Tlusha is a limitation, only pays Chatzi Nezik. So what's the Brisker Rav going to say? The Brisker Rav is going to say, yes, Tlusha is limited to Chatzi Nezik, but that is not a limitation, it's obligation. That's because it's functioning now in a certain way. But we can derive from that, together with the other three of us Nezikin, to be Mechayev Mechuberes even more. How can you be Mechayev more than Tlusha? That's what Tosis kept asking. Tlusha is only Chatzi Nezik. How can I derive Mechuberes to be Nezik Shoev if Tlusha is only Chatzi Nezik? So the Brisker Rav will say, because Chatzi Nezik is not a limitation. It's only half usher. It's fully usher. Just as a loophole, you only have to pay one, half. So that's what he's going to say. Mishum de Lofi Ha-Emes, three lines from the bottom. La'akash ha-ksuv and kol ha-dalad, avas nezik and aray kol din chiyuv nezik and toli rak v'dark l'hatz v'shmelech v'nalecha. All that matters is, if it's movable, and you should have watched it. All these exclusions, each one has its own carve, its own loophole. Therefore, the rakle inin hilkoseim who the nemru koa chiluke shemel shabor ba'eish v'shem v'rego. Aval inin chiyuva hakol toli rak b'dak v'leilach l'hazik, and therefore we can derive one from the other. V'chol shadakol v'shmiras and alechem v'chayim. Okay, Rabbi says, so that's what he's going to say. You can look down. And then three lines from the bottom, he says, I really plan to read the whole thing, it's so beautiful. But then he's three lines from the bottom, he says, Tosas held these exclusions are not just loopholes. The limitations on your obligation. You're only obligated, it's only a little bit usser. By muad, it's really usser. So if we can't derive from tam, from Tulusha to Mechuberes, because Tulusha, you don't bear as much responsibility as Mechuberes, which would pay Nezek Shalem. So you're limited. And the Brisker Rav, who says that these things are not limitations on your obligation, we can derive from all four. Yeah, so we'll put it all four together. It might have none of the exclusions. It's certainly not of the exclusion of Tam. One of the exclusions of Kelim or Adam or Tamun. It's not functioning like any one of the four. It's just, the common denominator and can be Chayv. Even though each one of the four where you derived it from has exclusions and carve-outs, those are not limitations on the obligation. The Brisker Rav goes on to use this to explain the beginning of the sugya. If you remember, look all the way back, Beis Amud Aleph. Brisker Rav is literally giving a shir klolio here. In yeshivas, they sit on this Brisker Rav for a month. So, at least kedai for us for one day. So but it's an important yesod. We're going to have to revisit it again and again, because he's saying something here which relates to the entire Masechta. But the Gemara began, Beis Amud Aleph, its whole discussion, once there are avos and there are todos, are the todos the same as the avos or not the same as the avos? Remember?
What does it mean? Is it the same? So Rashi said, todos saying, kayotzi ben olav kayotzi ben. So Rashi said, on Beis Mebeis, Hachamai, the first narrow line of Rashi and Beis Mebeis, what's the story here? Are they kayotzi ben or not kayotzi ben by Nezikin? Mi Amrinon, says Rashi, three lines from the bottom, todos kayotzi behen, Loshna Av, Loshna Tolda, and Hizik Mishalim, Odil Malo. The Av you pay, the Tolda you pay? Or maybe not.
Well, you don't pay by the Tolda? So in what sense is it a Tolda? Then it's just nothing. Tolda means it is something having to do with Nezikin. If you don't pay, it's garnished. That's called walking, you know, it's called driving, right? What does it have to do with Nezikin? So somehow Kharanim explained for Rashi what it means. It would be usher to do it because you're causing damage, that old Isur Bahazik thing. But you wouldn't pay. It doesn't rise to a threshold. It doesn't rise to the threshold that you'd have to pay. Okay, but that's how Rashi interpreted it. The Brisker Rav is not happy with this at all. So look at the beginning of the Brisker Rav. Bava Kama Daf Beis. All the way back, page 130 in the Brisker Rav. That's the first page of the Brisker Rav. It says, Ein Shom Bepei Rosh Rashi. Maybe you'd be potter. What does this mean? What are they told us for? So some are trying to add, it's told us because it's us to do it. Well, Zeh Shamin and Mimasis and the Abbas Machal Ika told us, but says the Biskurv, you're not obligated to pay. In what sense is it told up? The Gamal told us Ika Chiyuv and Ezekin, Umay Kami Boile. So then he quotes the Rif. Viname Divre HaRif Sham, he says the Shaila is an entirely different Shaila. Rabbi says, look back at the Rosh. The Rosh is going to quote the Rif. Look at the Rosh, first page of the little sheets I handed out to you. Where is it? Where the first line of the Gemara in the Rosh, in the right column, so it says Gemara the Katani Avos Chaldei Katoldos. He says Kasher Rav Alfas, Kaven the Kaimelam the Nezek Shalim Imonahu, V'Chasi Nezek Knasahu, Umuot Shehizik Meshalim Nezek Shalim and Aliyah V'Tam Shehizik Meshalim Chasi Nezek Migufo, B'Inung Gemeda Toldos the Hani Avos Ikayotzi Behendinu. So what does it mean that Toldos are Kayotzi Behend? What does that mean? Says the Rif. The chol muad minai who told the day kavase, the mesalim nezek shalem, the tam shehizik told the day kavase, the tam the day kavase the mesalim chatsi nezek migufo, odilma told us say and lav kayotzi behen. Meaning is the tolda of Karen, for example, do they also only pay chatsi nezek the first time, and if it becomes a habit, it pays nezek shalem? Or the toldos either always pay chatzi nezek, or the toldos always pay nezek shalom. It doesn't have the same exclusions as keren itself. Meaning, does that same distinction chatzi nezek and nezek shalom apply to toldos also? So he says, "Hayinir lo the Rabbeinu Yitzchak shem lo matzino chiluk b'tashlum in nezikim lo haya sefer mistapik." If there wouldn't be a difference in what you pay, then we wouldn't bother with raising the issue. The Mehecha Teisil on the Chalik Beinayu, how can we distinguish between them? Came in the Adin and Misar. Okay, fine. But that's the suffix that he has. Then there are others who question that suffix. Why would you think there should be a difference between them? But that's how the Rif learns. So look back at the Brisker Rav. He says, V'inei Divrei Arif Sham, Kasav, Dinira, the Bayahi, Alchiluke, Hadinim, Sheyeshnim, Benazikin. All of these carve-outs, these exclusions, do they apply to the toldos also or not? V'yesh mu'adim mitchilasam, v'yesh she'enam mishalim rak chatzi nezek umigufo. Some perhaps should always pay chatzi nezek, some should always pay nezek shalim. V'alzehu dibayran im hatoldos ka'avos le'inyin ze'olo. But he said he can't understand this without his thesis. Because how could we not carry over the exclusions to the toldos? How could a tolda be chayiv more than the av? He says, "V'gam de'lachor tzarachiyun." At the end of that paragraph, the me'achar the kol toldan lo medes le'inim chiyuv and nezika me'av shala the tolda derived from the avim came me'heichin taisi yechiluk beinayim we'inin hadinim. How can the tolda pay nezik shalim when the av only pays chatzi nezik? So the Brisker Rav gets all the way back to that at the end of his piece, page 132, in the paragraph of Ufize Nire, the Zehu Gam Biur Ha'ibaya in Todos Sein Kayotzim Lafi Yotzibayan, you should read it, he says beautifully. He says, this explains the rift too. Why? Because if these exclusions, these carve-outs, these exceptions, are just loopholes in payment, but they really us are all the same, it's not that your government responsibility and obligation is any different. You're fully responsible, fully obligated. So then maybe the exclusion, the gzeiros hakasuv of chatzi nezek doesn't carry over to the tolda that's only by the av. Everybody say, you hear why? Maybe that's only by the av. The av, that's what the pasuk is talking about there. You only pay chatzi nezek. The tolda, which is derived from it, is not included in the gzeiros hakasuv. So you have to pay nezek shalom. And we ask, how can you pay more than the av is being derived from? The answer is because the fact you only pay chatzi nezek is not a limitation on the obligation of the av. It's just gzeiros hakasuv. And maybe the gzeiros hakasuv is limited to the av. It's a loophole, a legal loophole. But therefore, since your obligation is really full with regard to the av, so then when the tola, which is not the beneficiary of that same gzeiros hakasuv, there, you'll be obligated to pay nezek shalom. And we don't ask, well, how can you be more chayav than the av? You were fully chayav by the av. It was just a legality that you got out of paying nezek shalom. So that's how he interprets that as well. Okay, so Rabbi, look at this again. It's fantastic to see it inside. You should go through it. It's beautiful. We're going to keep coming back to it. And we have to add one or two more Nekudas Mishnah next time. But we're going to go on in the Gemara.